Father, in the name of Jesus, we love you. If you love him, just wave your hands to him. Wave your hands if you love the Lord. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord, this morning. Blessed be the name of God. We love you, Lord. We love you. That's why we wave to you. Hallelujah. We thank you for all the things, all the good things that you have given us richly to enjoy. Hallelujah. And we're going to hear about some of those things today. Lord, we just want to thank you because the entrance of your word brings light. And let that light shine in our hearts this morning to the glory of our God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus Christ. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a hand clap in-house. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to speak on the power of attorney. That's power of attorney in the name of Jesus Christ. Right. So I'm going to explain what that is. And we're going to talk about that. And this is going to be a very important message. So we want you to pay attention so that you can learn how to apply this. Now, what is a power of attorney? A power of attorney could be, mostly speaking, it is an authorization that a person makes and transfers to somebody else to act on their behalf. Depending on the state laws where you are, those are usually written and sometimes they have to be notarized, but generally speaking, somebody gives somebody else an authorization to act on their behalf. Most of the time it is on behalf of, financial decisions or whatever, you can specify the scope of the authorization in the power of attorney. Power of attorney can be concurrent or it can be, it can be something that is present only after the other person is gone. Concurrent means the person that's given the power of attorney is still present and alive, but they are asking somebody else to act on their behalf. That means they can act for themselves and this other person can also act on their behalf. Now, in the event that one person passes on and they left the power of attorney, then the other person will be, responsible for their estate and so on and so forth. Now, today, I want to talk about the power of attorney that the Lord Jesus has given us. Amen. Now, if you don't know really what it is, well, we will find out before we leave here today by the grace of God. Now, it doesn't really matter the extent to, let me talk to us a little bit. It doesn't matter the extent to, what you have or what you don't have. You can transfer that authority to somebody through what's called the power of attorney. So, to the extent that you have, you can transfer it. Now, imagine when somebody owns everything. Hallelujah. When somebody owns everything, and I'm going to prove to you by the word of God that Jesus Christ owns everything. Now, he also made some declarations by himself. And people moved by the Holy Ghost made declarations concerning him. Now, let's see and hear some of the declarations that he made by himself. Because, if you give me a power of attorney and you don't own anything, the power of attorney is worthless. What can I do? I mean, you really don't have anything, and so on, But when you really own everything and you give that power of attorney to somebody, that's really powerful. Amen. Amen, folks. Let's hear what Jesus said about the power that he has. This is the declaration that Jesus made himself. In the book of Matthew chapter 28, let's read it from verse 18 of what Jesus said concerning himself. Now, of course, we've heard the story of how he was the sacrificial lamb. He went through all of that and so forth. But then when he rose out of that grave and when he was about to leave, here is what he said. And Jesus said unto them, he came unto them saying, all power. Now, let me rephrase what Jesus said. Jesus said unto them, some of the power is given unto me. Some power in heaven and a little bit of some of it in earth is given unto me. Now, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Can you say praise the Lord for that? Jesus declared that right off the bat, that he has all power. There is nothing. The psalmist said, once have I heard this and twice it has been spoken that all power belongs to God. Well, Jesus is putting the claim right here and said that all that power is given unto me. That's Jesus. In heaven and in the earth. Praise the Lord. Now, let's read some scriptures and see how the Holy Spirit describes this power that Jesus has. I mean, to the extent that we may understand, get the benefit, the full benefit of this message. So I'm going to turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 1, and I'm going to read from verses 15 through about 19. Now, this is talking about the Lord Jesus. Amen. He said, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him, now notice, he's talking about Jesus Christ. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible. Can I get some witness in this house? I mean, you all are too quiet. We're talking about the Lord Jesus here. By him were all things made, that are created, whether they are in heaven or whether they are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, hallelujah, whether they be dominions, whether they be principalities, whether they be powers, all things were created by him and for him. Hallelujah. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church. Now, I want you to notice something like that. I mean, the church is really not separated from him. He's only the head. The church is part of him. Now, he is the head of the body, which is the church. Now, he is the beginning. He is the firstborn from the dead. And in all things, so that in all things, he might have the preeminence. Amen. For it has pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now, don't look for any other person. It's right here in Jesus Christ. Amen. It's all there. He's the image of the invisible God. You want to see what God looks like? You look at Jesus Christ. Amen. Image of the invisible God. That's who he is. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, this describes, the potency, and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That all things were made by him. All things were made for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he has a preeminence in all things. I mean, you can't get outside of the Lord, folks. You cannot. This whole universe is inside his belly. Amen. That's right. Praise the name of the Lord. That's how powerful he is. Now, let's look at some of the other declarations in the scriptures concerning him. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. And talking about Jesus Christ, how God highly exalted him. Hallelujah. I pick it up from verse 5 to about verse 11, Philippians 2. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. So he dropped down. He was in the image of God. He had the glory of God. He had the fullness of the Godhead in him. But he dropped down and made himself like a man. And being found in fashion like a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, which is the worst kind of death anybody, because the Bible says cursed is anybody that hangs upon the tree. So Jesus was cursed. He was hanging upon the tree. He took the curse of everybody, laid it upon himself. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. How many of you can say, praise the Lord? Now, because he did all of that, listen to what God did for him. Oh my. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. I don't care what name it is. The name of Jesus is above it. It could be cancer. It could be whatever else. The name of Jesus is above every name. Hallelujah. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and of things anywhere else. All things in the earth and under the earth and anywhere that they may be, you know, they should bow at the name of Jesus. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I want everybody to say, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Lord. And remember, nobody can say that except by the Holy Ghost. That's right. Now, Jesus Christ is the Lord. That's right. He is the Lord. And he's, you know, we do that to the glory of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, let's read another declaration in the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 20 to about 22. I'm going to come back to some of these verses later on and bring out something. But let me just read this part first. Now, it's talking about the exceeding greatness of the power that God wrought in Christ and so forth. You know, it talks about that in verse 19. The exceeding greatness of the power toward us who believe according to the mighty working of his power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now, listen to this. Far above principalities, all principalities. Amen. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Amen. So even things that have not yet been, Jesus is still Lord of those things. Amen. Any name that has not yet been named in the world to come or in the world past or in the world now, the Lord Jesus Christ is above them all. Amen. Now, that's the greatness of the power that is in the name of Jesus Christ. It's so great, folks. It is so great. Now, listen to how he put it here. Above all principalities. You know, there are powers, there are rulers, there are, you know, I mean, even monarchs and different things and kings and presidents and so on. You know, but the Bible says Jesus Christ is above all of those. It's above all of them. Above all dominion and above every name that is named. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Can somebody say hallelujah to that? Hallelujah. Now, all this power, Jesus turned around and gave it to us through what is called the power of attorney. Now, the reason I read all of that is for you to see how great he is. I mean, I could go on and on, but because we have some other events today, I want to just abbreviate it. How great is he that he has all these things and all things to come are even under him, things present and things to come. And he created all things and all things are for him and by him all things consist. And he's so great. And he turned around and gave us the same authority. Let's find out how he did that. And let's look at some of the scriptures to prove, you know, that God has given us this same power through our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, he says how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. How many of you say praise the Lord? Now that's what Jesus Christ did. He said how God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing all these things, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He was doing good, and at the same time, he was also healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Now, let's see how the Lord Jesus turned around. Don't be distracted by the screen. Look at your Bibles. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why you ought to bring your Bible to church. Don't depend on technology. Bring your Bible to church. Amen. Now, in the book of John, chapter 20, and verse 21, when Jesus was about to leave, here's what he said to his disciples. And every time Jesus spoke anything to disciples in the scriptures, he spoke it also to us. You know, it's like he said, you know, in John 17, he was praying for them and he said, neither do I pray for these alone, but I pray for all those who through their word will later hear about me. So everything that Jesus spoke to the disciples, he spoke also to us because those people were representing us. John chapter 20. And let me read verse 21. Then said Jesus unto them again. Can you all read it with me? Let's read that together. John 20:21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, how did his Father send him in Acts 10:38? God anointed him with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. That's how God sent him, because God was with him. And Jesus turned around and said, even as my Father has sent me, the authority that I had that came in the name of the Lord when he came, he said, I bestow upon you that same authority. Hallelujah. That's right. Now, unless the word of God is not true, you know, and this is the thing, you know, when the Lord is looking at us from heaven, you know, and we just trifle with the word of God, he is not glorified. Are you still with me, folks? When you trifle with the word of God, he is not glorified. In fact, the Lord is not happy when we trifle with his word. And that's one of the problems that got Israel, the old Israel, into trouble. Because the Lord always told them, ye sanctified not my word. You did not let my word take its full effect. They didn't sanctify the word of the Lord. And they made little the word of God. You know, they did not sanctify his word. They limited the Holy One of Israel. And those were the things that got them into trouble most of the time. Let's read some of the, you know, in some ways, Jesus helped them to practice before he would leave. You know, because if they never got any practice, and then all of a sudden he just left and said, well, do all of these things and so forth, they may just be wondering. But after he left, they remembered that they got some practice. They had some practice while he was here. So let's look at some of the things that they practiced with. You know, in Matthew chapter, no, let me read Luke chapter 10 first. In Luke chapter 10, let's look at verses 18 to 20. See some of the things, how they practiced the things that they were to do even after Jesus was gone. Jesus made them to do it, you know. He said to them, because, you know, he said, look, I beheld Satan fall as lightning from heaven. He fell down. You know, I love this scripture because fall as lightning from heaven means that Satan was traveling at the speed of light. That's how far he gets away from the power of God. Amen. If you have this real power that we're talking about today, that's how fast you can get the devil away from you. He'll move fast away from that anointing. You know, that's right. You know, that's what he does. You know, he fell down from heaven as, you know, moving at almost the speed of light. And listen to verse 19 of Luke chapter 10. Behold, I give unto you power. Now, that's the same power that Jesus had, and he gives it unto them. I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, that demonic spirits, and in any shape and form that the power of the enemy can rise up against you. I give you power over some of the power of the enemy. I just wanted to see if you are paying attention. Over all the power of the enemy. Amen. And nothing, folks, I want you to say it with me. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what Jesus said. Now, some of us don't realize that these scriptures are there, or we realize, but we don't know how to appropriate them. And that's what we are going to talk about at the latter part of this message. First, we are just laying a background to show you that not only did Jesus have all power, but he has also committed the same power to us through the power of attorney. Now, it's left to us to use it. I give unto you power over all the power of the enemy. Let's look at some of the power of the enemy. I don't want to take too much time with that, but you know all the things that the devil has power over. What does the Bible say in John chapter 10? You know, he said that the devil, he comes to do what? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's his job. But I am come in chapter 10 or 10 of John that you might have life. And that more abundantly. So anything that can steal your joy, you know, kill your dreams, destroy your life, and so on and so forth. That's what the power of the enemy is. But the Lord said, I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Well, that's so powerful. And, if you can believe it, you can have the victory. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10 and verse 7. He said to them, as ye go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now look at the authority he gave them. Heal the sick. Amen? Now, he didn't say pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Now, you cannot give what you don't have, folks. Jesus had this power, and he delegated it. Delegated the authority. He said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise even the dead. Cast out devils. Freely. And then he put a condition there. Freely. You can't charge money for these things, folks. Freely you have received, and freely you give. Amen. If you see anybody trying to charge money for these things, they have the false spirit. And that's thus saith the Lord. Because the Lord said, freely you have received, and freely you give. Amen. All we have is the power of attorney. The power is not really ours to begin with. It's his. But he delegated it to us. He gave us the power to heal the sick. He gave us the power to cleanse lepers. He gave us the power to raise the dead. Well, cleanse lepers, that could be, in our day, it could be heal leukemia or heal cancer or whatever it is. Amen. Praise ye the name of the Lord. The same thing. He just used whatever was present in their time to say, if he was here now today, he would come out and say, heal Alzheimer's. Amen. That's right. Heal whatever it is, AIDS, anything that's out there, heal them all. Hallelujah. Because freely you have received, and freely you give. Amen. The Lord is so wonderful. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, most of the times what happens is the believer fails to have this understanding of what God has done for us. That is why, we crumble under the things that Satan would bring against us. Because we fail to understand the power of attorney that God has given unto us. And let me remind us of all the prayers that Paul used to pray concerning his new converts. How he would pray that God would give them this understanding. He labored in prayers night and day for the people that God led him to bring to Christ. Let's look at some of his prayers here and what he said about it. Ephesians chapter 1. I will read from verse 15 to about maybe 23 or so. Ephesians 1, let me read from verse 15. Talking to the church at Ephesus, and here's what he said. He said, first of all, he told them that, look, the Lord has given you the Holy Spirit after you believed. It's like an earnest of your inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession for the praise and the glory of God. Then in verse 15, he says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and your love to all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. This is the prayer that he always prayed for them. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Amen. That the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. But that's the problem with us today. Our eyes sometimes are darkened. We don't know the position that God has put us in. But that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints that he has already given to you. Amen. The inheritance, of the saints now, not later on. God has given us richly, right now, all things to enjoy. He has given us all things that pertain to godliness, right now. Amen. This, he says, this inheritance in glory, is going to explain it a little more in verse 20. He wants us to know the exceeding greatness of his power. I read some of it to us here in the scriptures. And that power was not only residing in him, but he committed it unto us. Let's listen to how he said it in this verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? See, the greatness of the power that he has committed to us. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality, just like we read in Colossians. Above all principality, above all power, above all might, above all dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this world, hallelujah, but in that which is to come. You know, the Lord, you know, this, it's so powerful. Praise the Lord. But God wants us to have understanding of this commitment of the power of attorney that God has put in our hands. Now, let's read also Colossians chapter 1. We read this verses before, but I want to highlight a different portion. This time I'm going to focus on verses 9 and 10 in Colossians chapter 1. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard of your faith and love of the Spirit and so on, we do not cease to pray for you, but we continue to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Spiritual understanding is what this message is about today. If people don't have spiritual understanding of the place that they are in Christ, you know, devil will play ping pong with you all the time. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. So we should increase in the knowledge of God. Now, this message is designed to help us increase in the knowledge of God. Increase in spiritual understanding of the things that God has given us. Now, notice that this power that Christ has given us, he committed it unto us by delegation. He said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, so, what really then does that power encompass? When we act in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that's almost like Jesus himself. Amen. Amen, folks. You know, now, you know, there are some people that find that hard to believe. You know, and some people say, well, you know, I don't believe in all that healing stuff. I don't believe in all that praying stuff. Well, that's fine. That healing stuff won't bother you then. That's right. But you better believe the power that God has given unto us. Amen. Mm-hmm. Believe in the Lord, and so shall ye be established. Believe also his prophets, sir, and so shall ye prosper. Amen. We must believe the things of God. When we act in his name, he has given us power to act in that name. It's like a blanket check that he wrote for us to act in that name. Amen. Listen to what he said in John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Read with me in verses 13 and 14 of John chapter 14. Let's quickly read what he said. John chapter 14, verse 13. In fact, let me read from verse 12. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Can you say amen to that? Why? Because he has given us this authority to act upon his name. Given us the same power that he had from the Father he committed unto us. And greater works than this shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. Hallelujah. Now that part is not my subject today, but let me explain that. Some people think that we'll be able to do greater things than the Lord. You will never be able to do greater things than the Lord. This is a bad translation. This greater works is in quantity, not in quality. Amen. Because everything that the Lord does is perfect. You cannot do any better. For the Bible says, a servant is not greater than his master. But when he is perfect, he will be like his master. Hallelujah. So the greater works is in abundance. And if you read the last part of it, you will understand why. Because I go to my Father. Because my time here is limited. So you will have longer time to do more works. Hallelujah. But anything that he did was perfect. You cannot do better. Hallelujah. But you can do more. Amen. Because you have more time. I'm going to my Father. My time is limited. I'm gone. But you are still here. So you have opportunity to do more works. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And of course, he told them, I will never leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. And he came in the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. If ye shall ask anything in my name. Well, let me go back to verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name. What did he say he would do? Hello, folks. Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do. Why? That the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow, you got to know how powerful that is. Now, the proper way to pray is in the name of Jesus Christ. Not in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. No, it is in the name of Jesus Christ. That is where the power is at. That's a proper way to pray. And that's where the power that is behind the universe is in that name. In that name, in Acts chapter, you know, we are told in Acts chapter 4, 11 and 12, neither is there any other name given among us whereby we must be saved. There is no other name, folks. You cannot find any other name. You can travel the whole universe. You'll never find any other name. It is the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, if you shall ask anything in my name, that is Jesus speaking. Jesus never told us to pray in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He never said it. There's no scripture that said that you should pray in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. There's only one scripture where people get twisted up, and that wasn't even talking about praying. He was talking about baptism and so on. You know, but the way you pray, it's in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where the power is at. That's the name that makes the devil to tremble. You ever notice when you talk to people about God? One day, some few weeks ago, I was out here, you know, just out here in the Lord. And one young man came by and so forth. You know, I was just roaming around the street, you know, and looked like he needed something. He knocked. I walked up there. He said he needed some water. So I gave him some water and so forth, you know. And, he said something like, you know, God bless you and so forth. And I say, then I turn around and said to him, you know, I say, Jesus loves you. And, you know, you need to see how he bolted out of there when I mentioned the word Jesus. He said, Jesus, he ran off. He said, no, I don't want that name. That's the truth if I ever told it. He just ran off like that. He was on a skateboard. I just get and I shouted after him. I said, that's right. That's the name of Jesus. I put you to flight. Amen. Because I was a devil in the guy. That's right. See, you know, they can't handle that name of Jesus. My, how powerful is that name? That's the name that puts the final coffin on the devil. The name that is above every name. Hallelujah. That's his name. When he appeared to John on the Isle of Patmos, he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And I have the keys of hell and death. He got it from the devil, folks. He whooped the devil, beat him from pillar to post, and made an open show of principalities and powers, and spoiled them. Hallelujah. That's what Colossians chapter 2 will tell you. You know, he said he made an open show of principalities and powers. He spoiled them. He stripped them of their powers. He took even the keys of hell and death from the devil. Hallelujah. The devil has no more power over us. He never did anyway. He can only bluff. He can only bluff. That's all he can do. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8. The enemy, the devil, going around as a roaring. He's not really a lion. He only pretends to be one. Goes around as a roaring lion looking for whom he may devour. Well, you know, can he devour you? He's looking. He cannot devour everybody. Amen. But he's looking for those that do not have the understanding of who they are. And if you don't have the understanding, then he'll devour you. But if you have the understanding, hallelujah, especially when your own obedience to the Lord is made perfect, then the enemy cannot do anything to you. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when we act in his name, listen to this. John 15, I must move along. John 15, chapter 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. This is the thing that all this power that he gives us is for. It's not for us to be commanding houses and cars. Hello, folks. It is for us to go about doing good, like Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil, just like Jesus did. Jesus wasn't commanding helicopters and planes and so forth, you know. He wasn't doing all of that. He was delivering people from the power of darkness and bringing them into the kingdom of light. And that is what he sent us to do. I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit. Amen. And that your fruit should remain. And when you are doing that, when you are bringing forth fruit, when you are using that, you know, this power in the way that he wants you, then he will increase it. That whatsoever you ask in my name, hallelujah. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, hallelujah, he may give it unto you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, these are the things that the Lord gave to us. Look at Mark chapter 16. How do we use this power? Mark chapter 16. He gave this to all believers. Mark chapter 16 and verses 17 through about 18. Let's just see what the Lord has to say to all the believers. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. In my name. Look, listen, it's always in his name, folks. It's not by any other way. It is in his name. In my name shall they cast out devils. Now, we are not to engage a conversation with the devils. I remember when I was a young man and so forth, you know, I learned this very, very quickly. We used to do deliverance and so forth in those days. And there are some devils that try to engage. They'd be speaking through the voice of the person. I say, no. Jesus said, cast them out. Don't engage. Cast them out. Hallelujah. Cast them out means get rid of them. They don't belong. You know, get rid of them. You know, cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall even take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not even hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. Hallelujah. And they shall recover. All this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if you believe the Lord and you lay hands on the sick. Now, it didn't say that the pastors will lay hands on the sick. You know, well, the pastors can do that if they believe. There are some pastors that don't believe. But if they believe, if you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, you can lay hands on the sick. And the sick shall recover. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now let's see how some of the apostles did it after Christ left. They remembered, especially after the Holy Ghost came, they remembered, you know, the things that Jesus said to them. Because that's what Jesus said. He said, the Holy Ghost will bring to your remembrance all these things. And so on. So let's look at Acts chapter 3. Take a quick story here. Acts chapter 3, this is how Peter remembered and he did it. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple in the hour of prayer, you know, being the ninth hour. And there was a certain man lame from his mother's womb, which was carried and lay daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that came into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John, fastened his eyes upon them, you know, and so forth like that, you know, and he wanted to get some alms from them. He asked an alms. You know, he was a beggar. And he said, when he saw Peter and John coming in, he said, give me something. You know, give me something. We see beggars sometimes, you know, but this particular man was not just a homeless guy. He was, what did he say he was? He was crippled. And they had carried him from his mother's womb. He was crippled for a long time. He couldn't do anything. You know, so, and he was begging that people would give him some charity and so on. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, he said to this man, look on us. And so the man looked on them, expecting to receive something from them. So Peter said this. It's a wonderful thing that Peter said. Peter said unto him, you know, money I don't have. That's what they spent in those days, silver and gold. Silver and gold, and I know we sing this song. Silver and gold have I none. You know, and all that. We sing that. You know, Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, I give unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah, somebody. Rise up and walk. Now, that's something that you have through the power of attorney. Let's see how Peter used it here. You know, this man was looking for, you know, alms, giving of money and so forth. Peter said, well, I don't have money to give you, but I can give you, I can do you one better. Amen. Amen, folks. I can do you one better. Now, folks, you cannot give what you don't have. But Peter said, well, I don't have money, so I can't give you that. But I have something. And that's something I can give you. And so he turned around to the man and said, now notice, Peter didn't just go on and be making long prayer and speaking in tongues and so on. No, he didn't do any of that. He just said to the man, amen, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. You know, and just to eliminate any doubt, because the man cannot rise up and walk, because the man is thinking, he said, are you kidding me? How can I rise up and walk? The man doesn't even know how to walk. He has never done it from his mother's womb. You know, so to make sure that there is no doubt, Peter grabbed the man by his hand. Hallelujah. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately, I love that word. That's one of my favorite words throughout this whole Bible. Immediately, his feet and his ankle bones received strength. Can somebody say hallelujah? And the man leaping and stood up, walking and leaping and praising God. And he would run around that temple, and the Pharisees wanted to put him out. Because, you know, those Pharisees, they don't like real power of God. You know, whenever they see the real power of God in action, they want to put it down. This man was running all over the place and so forth like that. Then, you know, the people gathered around and said, my goodness, what happened here? You know, and then when they saw Peter and said, these are the men that healed him. And they wanted to deify Peter and John. You know, they wanted to make something out of them and so forth. Now, this is where a lot of ministers, so-called in the healing ministry, they miss the mark. It's where they miss the mark, folks. Let me tell you what Peter did. Because you have to bring the glory back to Jesus. Hallelujah. And Peter, he stood and said, look, I don't want you to think that by my power or John's power, we did this thing that you are looking at here. But there's one man. Hallelujah. The Prince of Peace, whom ye killed, whom God raised from the dead. His name is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. By him and through faith in his name, God has given this man this perfect soundness that you see here today. Give the Lord a hand clap for that, folks. Hallelujah. Verse 16 says, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong. Hallelujah. Woo. Whom ye see and know, you know the man. And yea, the faith which is in him, in Jesus, has given this man this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So that's how you do it, folks. When the Lord heals somebody through you, when you are using the power of attorney and miracles happen, you must immediately give the glory back to Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't ever begin to, you know, after a while, you know, people who are in the healing ministry, they forget, you know, and then they begin to think that by their power, they do these things, you know. Is it by their power that did it? No, it's by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, that's how they did it in those days. Now, I don't have time to go into other stories in the Bible, you know, but some of you have had this experience within yourself. But I want us to remember that these things are real. The power of attorney that God has given us is real. Amen. And I want you to get up from this place today and begin to exercise the same. Don't run away when you see somebody that is in need. Stand up with the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. But before you do all of that, you know, sometimes, you know, Jesus said, look, there are some things that cannot go out except by prayer and fasting. You know, we have to balance the scriptures, folks. I mean, some people like the power to heal. Some people like all those things and so forth, but they don't like obeying the Holy Ghost, and they don't like prayer and fasting and so on and so forth. But you have to balance everything. Amen. In your closet. Not when it is time to heal the sick. In your closet, you pray in tongues. Amen. You pray and speak for hours throughout the night and do all those things and so forth. And then when you come out, you speak in the name of Jesus. A short, powerful speaking, and give the glory to God. So it's not going to be by our much praying and so forth, but the Lord that saw your much praying in the closet, he will reward you openly. Amen. If you stand up in the name of Jesus Christ, after you've prayed up, you're prayed up. Now, Jesus used to be prayed up. When he invited disciples to pray, they wouldn't pray, you know, but he was always prayed up. So when any of these situations came, you know, all they had to do was look at what the Father was doing and follow exactly. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, how do we get back to this power? Remember, Adam had this power to begin with. You say, Adam had this power? Yes. Let's turn to the book of Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 19. This was the beginning of how God delegated the power. And this is how God wanted it to be. But we lost that power through the disobedience of one man. Sin entered into the world. But just like the sin entered into the world through the disobedience of one man, grace and truth also entered, and the power of restoration and redemption, the purchase of the redemption, entered back into the world unto the sons of God through the obedience of one man, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Genesis chapter 2 and 19, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and, you know, brought them unto Adam to see, you know, what Adam would call them. This is what the Lord did. You know, whatever Adam did, and the Bible says, whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Amen. Can you imagine that? God brought the lion. It wasn't called lion then. It was, nobody knew the name of it. Whatever name it was, and Adam, by the gift of knowledge, and by the understanding of God, and through the power that God invested in him, he said, you will be this, and so that's what it was. Amen. Amen, folks. And the stamp of the Lord was behind whatever Adam said. God didn't argue with him. You know, if he decided to call the thing a bird, then that's the way it was. God gave that authority to Adam. Can you imagine that? Adam named every living creature. Whatever the name he called it, that's what the name was. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, there was so much power. Adam had so much power and authority over the animals and so on. You know, and even Noah. Noah had so much power and authority. One day, when God wanted to destroy the world, he returned that power to Noah. And he said to Noah, grab all these animals and so forth. And all that Noah had to do was act under the authority that God gave him. Amen. And Noah would say to the lion, lion, come in here. Oh, no, 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 not you. I want only two of you. Get in here. Line up this way. Amen. And the lion obeyed. The lion stayed by the lamb, stayed by the deer. All these crazy animals that used to kill, you know, the other animals, they all stayed there and they all behaved. Because Noah said, you all behave yourself now. Amen. They had the power and the authority. But down through the ages, because of sin and disobedience, this power was lost. This is the thing that Jesus came to restore. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. He came to restore this power. Listen to it in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 18. How the Lord stands behind, how heaven stands behind this power of attorney that he has given us. In Matthew 18 and 18, he said, "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth." Amen? Let me repeat that to see if some of you are paying attention. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, some of the things that ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And some of the things that you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Is that what he said? No. "Whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven." He put it in your hands. You do it. "Whatsoever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." He gave us that power. And he even said, look, this power is so great. It's also the power of forgiveness. Amen. If you forgive somebody, they are forgiven. Now, but you take heed. If you don't forgive somebody, they will not be forgiven, and neither will you be forgiven. It's so powerful, folks. "Whosoever sins you remit are remitted." It's not some Catholic thing that somebody goes. No, the power is given unto believers. If somebody had done anything unto you, and you come and you say, you are forgiven, they are forgiven. Amen. That's right. But if you hold their sin against them, then it is held against them, and it is also held against you. Read that same story in this Matthew chapter 18, towards the end of it. "For if you do not, every one of you, forgive your brother from the bottom of your heart all of their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you." This power that God has given us also includes the power to forgive. Amen. People who are not believers, this is how you know people who are not really regenerated. They cannot forgive. Are you with me, folks? They cannot forgive. They'll just be always remembering something that somebody, you need to come to the altar. Amen. If you are still struggling with somebody, somebody did something to you, come to the altar. You need to come to the altar. You have to be able to forgive. That's also part of this power of attorney. You forgive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said, "Whomsoever you forgive, I forgive them also in the name of Jesus." Even though I'm not present, you forgive somebody, I forgive them, and so forth like that. Using the authority that God gave him back then as the apostle to the Gentiles. But let me tell you this. This authority that gives us the power to bind and to loose, that power, well, the Bible says the power of life and death. Sometimes, you know, people don't know that it may be in the tongue. You know, don't use your mouth to say contrary things. Because, especially if you say contrary things about yourself, may come back and haunt you. Always declare the word of God. Amen. Stand in the authority that God has given you and use it for the glory of God. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, you can also, even though I said that we use this authority in preaching the gospel and delivering the people that are sick and so forth like that, you can also use this for yourself. That's right. Because the prayer, when the disciples came and asked Jesus, "Teach us to pray," Jesus prayed about the kingdom of heaven. He prayed about, you know, all of these things and so forth. But then he told them to pray about for themselves as well. You know, you pray that God deliver you from evil. You pray that God should not lead you into temptation. You pray that he should give you your daily bread. So there's nothing wrong in declaring the goodness of God for yourself. Amen. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me," the psalmist said. Declare it for yourself. You know, use the power of God that God has given you. Now, let's give some quick examples as we begin to close this out. Sickness is an agent of the devil. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. Disease and all of these things, those are agents of the devil. Because they steal your joy. They try to kill your dreams. They try to destroy your life. All those things, they are agents of the devil. You know? And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So even death is an enemy. Amen. Amen, folks. It's an enemy. And it will be destroyed one of these days. We know that Jesus Christ already has abolished death. And he has brought immortality and life through the gospel. You know, but, you know, that death has not been completely vanquished. But it will be. One day, death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. That's right. Amen, folks. But for now, we must enforce the thing that God has already given to you. Now, if you have the power of authority, the power of attorney, well, it's also power of authority. You have the power of attorney, but you don't know how to use it. Well, you may be missing out on a lot of things. You know, if somebody, who was very wealthy, willed you a power of attorney, and so forth, and they gave you access to all their accounts and everything, there's a lot of money in there, and you don't use it, well, you will be missing out. Can you say amen to that? Use the power that Jesus has given us. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. And let's see if we can practice that. Come on, everybody. Let's rise to our feet. Let's see if we can practice the power of attorney. I had a few more things to say, but I have to abbreviate it because we are going to do a breaking of bread and we're also going to go into the marriage workshop today. So I'll abbreviate this. And I'm going to pray for us like Paul prayed, that God may give us spiritual understanding in all things that we have said here today. That you may understand that God has committed into your hands the oracles, the principles of the oracles of God. He has committed the oracles into your hands. Along with that, he has also committed into your hands the power of attorney to act in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you know how to do it, if you know how to use that power, there is nothing that shall harm you. Amen. If you believe that, you can say amen. That's a very weak amen. It's like people who don't believe anything. If you believe that Jesus said, if you're acting in my name and I've given you power over all the power of the enemy, that nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you believe that, you can say amen. Amen. So never mind that somebody is trying to do this and somebody is trying to do that to you. Well, they may be trying, but it's not going to hurt you. Amen. Amen. Don't waste your time even worrying about that. You stay with the word of God. Stay in the power that God has given us. Stay in the liberty wherewith Christ has set you free. And don't be entangled again in the yoke of darkness. Now listen to this. In the book of Job, or some people call it Job, some call it Job, whatever, chapter 5, verse 12. The Lord disappointed the devices of the crafty so that their hands cannot perform any of their enterprise. That is how it will be for anybody that's trying to do anything against you. The Lord will disappoint all their devices. Their enterprise, they cannot carry it out. Because no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that will rise against you in judgment, you will condemn it. These are the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. You don't even need to worry about those things. It's already there. It's automatic. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. But today, I want us to practice this power. I want you in prayer. Let's begin to go into prayer right now. Forget who's standing to your left or to your right. This is you and the Lord. I want you to use that power of attorney that the Lord has given you. Now, some of you are facing some challenges. Well, that's part of life. We face these challenges all the time. You say, well, I don't know how life can be this tough or whatever. Well, that is life. C'est la vie. But we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. No matter what it is, he causes us to triumph. So I want you to say to the mountain. Because Jesus said, if you use my name in prayer, you will have whatsoever you say. When you say to the mountain, do not doubt it, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. Now let's practice. I want everybody, take a few minutes and pray. Whatever it is that you believe God for, use the name of Jesus. Use the power that is in the name of Jesus. And declare victory for yourself. And say to the mountain, who art thou, O great mountain? Declare it for yourself. Before me, you will be removed. And I will go through, hallelujah, and inherit my inheritance from the Lord. Now, if you have sickness, you have disease, you have the power of attorney as well. Because you really don't have those things, but the enemy tries to put those things upon you. And you have the power of attorney to reject those things. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you lose is losing heaven. Now, I want you to bind from your family and from your life the things that bring distress, the things that bring sorrow, the things that bring, you know, anguish, pain, and suffering. Bind them from your life in the name of Jesus. Now, I want you to pray with me. Everybody that is in here, I want you to lift up your hands. Let's believe God together. I'm going to say this prayer. I won't call the prayer line right now. But lift up your hands and let's believe God. And if you believe and agree with me, I'm just going to make some declarations. God has given you an understanding. That's been my prayer. Give you an understanding concerning this. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, somebody say amen.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ,
amen.
We have the power. Hallelujah. And today, we say to every mountain and everything that has been a hindrance in our lives, be thou removed. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. I'm coming through. Amen. I am coming through. Hallelujah. Now, let's bind some sicknesses, diseases, infirmities, all kinds of things. All negative things. Let's bind them. In the name of Jesus. Now, how do you bind something? It's not just by saying, I bind. What is the meaning of I bind? That doesn't bind anything. In the name, listen to this. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command spiritual handcuffs to be put upon problems and sicknesses and diseases that have held you back. They are bound in Jesus' name. Now, that's how you bind something. Hallelujah. You don't just say you bind. Just saying you bind, it doesn't bind anything. Actually bind the thing by putting spiritual handcuffs upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we hinder their enterprises. Their craftiness will not prosper in the name of Jesus. Now, how do you release some things? When you are bound things, you also have to release some things. There are some prayers that are being the golden vials that you have made over time. We need to release some of those things. We need to release the goodness of God. How do you release those things? Well, Jesus said, I am he that had the key of David. And when I open, no man can shut. When you shut, that's what we just did was the shutting. We closed those things up. Amen. Now let's open some blessings. Amen. Open your mouth wide and I will fill it, saith the Lord. There's somebody here that wants a blessing. Just lift up your hand. I'm going to ask the Lord to release blessing into your life. Blessing that you cannot contain. I mean, blessing that will be just overflowing. That's how God does his things. Everything about God is in abundance. He said, my cup runneth over. Hallelujah. Now, Lord Jesus, cause an abundance of your blessing to be released in the name of Jesus Christ unto your people in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now, if you believe it, you can shout for it. Amen. Let me hear somebody shout hallelujah. Let me hear somebody shout the praise of the Lord. Amen and amen. Now, there are many more things that we can pray for, but for the sake of time, we are going to leave it here. But I want you to go with this practice on your own. In your house, pray that way. In the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning your job, concerning situations, use the name of Jesus Christ. Concerning things that are happening around you, your child is sick, or husband or wife is sick, or whatever, use the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And always remember to say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's the name, folks. In the name of Jesus Christ, command that thing to leave. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Remember, the angels of God are waiting to carry out your commands. Hallelujah. They are called ministering spirits. They go forth to minister on behalf of the heirs of salvation. And you can read it in Psalm 103, verse 20. The strong angels, they're not just some weaklings. They excel in strength. They are waiting for the commandment from your mouth. They're waiting. When you speak that thing, they go into operation and they go into action. And they will carry it out in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap. Give the Lord a hand clap as you be seated. Amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Come on. We can do better than that. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Amen and amen and amen. Let's be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen.